This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
I have learned to let the art of letting go and just being okay with what I have and being grateful for it. That is one massive change that I have seen. The change in my energy, the change in my aura, how my family and people that I care about, what they think and feel when I'm around them. These are the real markers of success for me. Of course, yes, I'm healthier now. I can run 5-6 kilometers without a problem. But these things are superficial or not superficial, but whatever, you know, that's not as important. The most important thing is I wake up every single day so excited for what I have in front of me.
We are chuffed to bits to have Hamza Najam from Canada, originally from Pakistan, joining us on Over the Influence this week. Hamza is coming up for nearly 5 years alcohol free. He has got quite the story to share, and as well some really, really good deep advice on how you can basically start the work that you might need to do if you are considering changing your relationship with alcohol. Now it's the start of a brand new year. I'll stop talking. Hamza's got so much to share. Let's get into this week's episode.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Helen, and I'm 10 years alcohol-free this year. I joined Over the Influence 4 years after I'd stopped drinking, and I expected it was going to be a place where I could talk anonymously about my shameful secret. But what I actually got transformed me and really surprised me. I spent hours talking to like-minded people all over the world on Zooms about our wins and our struggles, and realised being alcohol-free was something to be proud of, not be ashamed of. And then I became a Zoom host myself, and I love every call, which is different and fascinating. If you have a voice in your head wondering if you should rethink your relationship with alcohol, then you probably should, and Over the Influence is an excellent place to start. I wish I'd had Over the Influence when I first stopped drinking, but I'm so grateful. It's a big part of my life now, which I wouldn't be without.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. We hope you are having a cracking start to 2025. And it might be the case that actually you're finding this podcast for the very first time. If this is you, hello, welcome. It's really good to have you here. My name is Sharon Hartley. I am based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. I am 51 years old and I stopped drinking more than 6 years ago. It was at the back end of summer 2018. And it was just going to be a break. I thought I needed to have a bit of a reset and then maybe return to drinking like an actual grown-up. And maybe moderate and all that jazz that we talk about. Anyway, long story short, everything changed. Life got so much better. And yeah, I just wish I'd done it sooner. But anyway, here we are. I always sort of like to add how much, well, not how much I drank. That's not helpful, I don't think, because I would hate you to use that my previous drinking as some sort of awful barometer of yours. In my case, it was too much, too quickly and far too often. I removed the booze and everything changed, and that's it. And that's why this podcast exists. It's why our online community exists. And it's where my friendship with the lovely Ben started. Ben, how are you?
Hi, Sharon. I'm good. Thank you. Happy New Year. When do we stop saying
Happy
that?
Happy New Year.
Every British conversation for at least the next 3 weeks has got to get, when do we stop saying that in there? Although I have to say, you know, we're a UK-based podcast, but last week we were in Copenhagen. This week we're in Canada. Oh, it's so international now.
So international.
I'm Ben. I'm 36. I live in Liverpool in the UK. And this year I'll be 5 years alcohol-free in the summer, which is nuts. We talked about it a little bit last week. Time flies when you're alcohol free, but it really does. And I never intended to give up forever. I wanted to do a 3 month break, got to 3 months and went, this feels good. Let's extend it to six, got to six and thought, oh, let's go for 12. That sounds great. I did a whole year without alcohol. Then I got to day 366 and thought, this is a good choice for me. I'm going to do it permanently. And this podcast, it's racking up numbers now. Fifth year of the OCI podcast, the fourth year of the OCI community. It's great. It's great.
Right. We're excited because, as Ben said there, well, we're going international, darlings. Yes, we're going overseas again. we can't wait to introduce this week's guest. He is based in Canada, where it is absolutely Baltic. So it's very, very cold. His name is Hamza Najam, and he is nearly 5 years alcohol-free. Hamza, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
I am doing great, Sharon. And Ben, thank you so much for having me.
You are more than welcome. Before we get into your whole story, where you were, where you are now, and how life has changed, I hope you don't mind and you don't have to answer this question. We had to rearrange this podcast because, safe to say, you had something a little bit more important to attend. Are you happy to share that with us or not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. After a year of trying and being told that it's probably not going to happen based on all the test results, I found out that the time we had to change was that we are going to have a baby.
And amazing.
It is a baby girl, and it's particularly special for me because my partner, she already has two beautiful girls that I'm a stepfather to. And, you know, as much as it is amazing to have to be that person for those two little girls, there was always that little voice in my head that said it would be nice to have one of our own. And now that is happening in April. She is going to be named, or she is already named, Sophie Grace. So Sophie Grace Najam is going to be with us in and around April 3rd.
That is the most glorious way to start a podcast episode in the new year. Congratulations, Hamza.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's particularly special because, you know, what we're here to talk about today had a role to play in all the results that I was getting and the failures, if you want to call it that. A year is a long time to be trying. So that's what makes it even more special.
Do you mind if we start with that then and how your life changes have impacted where you are now?
Absolutely. I mean, when I was drinking, it wasn't all that bad. If you look at it on paper, you know, smiling in every picture, of course. But it's the story inside. It's when you go home and can't fall asleep, or when you wake up the next day wondering, what happened? Where did all your money go? Do you still have your phone? That's when things start to come crashing down. For me, in terms of how my life has changed, I am much happier with myself as a person, as an individual. I couldn't say the same when I was still drinking, especially the last 5 years, the self-hatred, the self, you know, just not being happy with what I look like, what I feel like, and the person I become, especially after a few drinks, especially in situations where restraint is required and none is available.
Hamza, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I just turned 37 on September 11th.
I feel like you might be me, but in Canada and have with more certificates. I'm looking at your Zoom screen here and you've got many certificates on the wall. I don't have many certificates. Our stories are quite similar. I've got two stepkids and, you know, loved being a stepdad to them. Really, really thought I'd love to have my own one day. And we've got little Leo now. He's just turned two.
Congratulations.
It feels like, again, you know, that's a major moment for me. If I'd carried on drinking, I stopped drinking nearly 5 years ago. The similarities continue. You're obviously both very good looking and funny.
Yeah. I was just going to say that, jump in. You are both devilishly handsome. Completely.
And funny. Don't forget the
thank
and
you.
Funny.
Oh, sorry, and funny. And
yeah.
Funny.
it feels like then, Hamza, that, you know.
Funny first, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, really funny. Let's just add the word really in. I think
steady.
It feels then like there wasn't a rock bottom moment for you, Hamza.
The funny thing is that there was a rock bottom moment, but that wasn't it. So in 2016, so just to give the listeners here some background, I'm originally Pakistani. I came to Canada when I was 19, and I'm the elder son in my family, and I have a younger brother. And my mission here was to show up, study, graduate, then find a way to become a citizen and bring my family here. And this is something that a lot of families there, they wish for, to live abroad, to be able to, because living conditions, not ideal. But anyway, long story short, I came here with a mission. And instead of following the mission, things started going sideways. And I got into the party scene. I love house music, house techno. I live for that stuff, still listen to it religiously, but, you know, things have changed. And I just started when I came here with the freedom and all the pressure that I had. Of course, I resorted to drinking to be able to change my mood, to be able to go out and have fun. And before I knew it, it had become this staple, this part of my life that I couldn't do without, in small things, in big things, in daily things. Anytime I'm stressed, anytime I have to go out, anytime I have to do anything that is not work, I would like to do it with a drink. And it's when I tried to stop, that's when things got really out of hand. And in 2016, August of 2016, I was at an event. It's this music festival in the middle of nowhere, you know, 3 days of camping, no holds barred kind of situation. I showed up there already a day and a half in to my partying, so to speak. And there on the third day, no nothing, just you can only, without saying too many things, you can imagine what that was like. I passed out in the lake. And had it not been for other people that were there to see that happen in real time, I would have drowned. So
wow.
Next thing I know, I am waking up with a circle of people around me looking down, and I'm looking up like, what happened? I have no recollection. So of course I was told that this is what happened, and I, you know, they had to make sure that I was okay so I could feel, you know, somebody had tried to do something to make sure that I was still breathing and all that. So that was the scary moment. And from there, I went 9 months sober. So the reason why I bring it up now is because the biggest lesson that I learned in my sobriety, which is you cannot do it for other people. It has to be for yourself. At that time, I was recognized fairly well in that industry. So a lot of people that were there, they knew me. They knew me as a promoter. I would put up events. So this was now how does it look for other people thing. And because word got out that, oh, one of the founders of this group was like this, I said, all right, I can stop drinking and I'll show you I can. But there, right then and there, is my first mistake. So 9 months of abstinence, holding back, not changing anything about why I was drinking or not doing any of the healing or not doing any of the real work that's required. I just went about my life restricted, holding myself back, seeing the same people doing the same old thing, but without alcohol. This was the most exhausting thing. All the energy that I had went around how I'm going to avoid drinking at such and such event, instead of just being present and enjoying it. And naturally, 9 months in, things got too much, and I started drinking again. And that was the worst relapse of my entire life. That was the worst. And it kept going and going and going until March of 2020. So this time there wasn't a rock bottom, but I was just recovering from one, if you want to call it that. Hope that answers your question. I know it was long-winded.
That's incredible. And, we so often hear about people having rock bottoms and then stopping drinking and then going back to it or relapsing or however you want to describe it. And in a lot of these cases where it has been incredibly awful, and one of our guests previously from a couple of years ago springs to mind, chap called the Sober Trekker. He said he just sort of like bounced along the bottom and then fizzled out. Do you know what I mean? Sort of no big, oh, this is it, this is the end of it. It just sort of expired. And that was that. Can you relate to that at all, Hamza?
Absolutely, I can, because, you know, one thing I always tell people that I connect with is that waiting for a moment like that to make changes, I hope that never happens to you. I hope you never have to experience something so traumatic that it shakes your very foundation. And, you know, this is today, 2025, is the most incredible time for sobriety. I feel like we are in the 1950s and 60s when that whole movement against smoking was taking place. It's the same thing that I see, like all the things are being checked off, where the newer generation that's growing up, they have seen their moms and dads, and they've seen what happens when this drink that you keep doing, what it leads to. That's why more and more and more millions of people around the world are choosing sobriety instead of being forced into it. Do you see what I mean? And that is such a beautiful thing, because people are they're feeling empowered to make this incredibly difficult change. And what makes it so difficult is you really are on your own when you choose this path. Just for context, I've been a coach now for 4 years. I've been running communities and a program and everything. So I hear about this all the time, where going out becomes this dreadful thing because you're sober or you're early on, and now you're worried about all the peer pressure and what you're going to have to deal with. It should never be that way. You should be able to just live freely and go out and not have to worry about what other people will think, or why if I'm not drinking, what's a good excuse? Like, I've had members fake pregnancies just so they can avoid having to talk about the fact that they're choosing not to drink for their health and their well-being, right? And so it's just great to see that people are choosing sobriety instead of being forced into it. So I hope this trend continues.
So why did you choose sobriety then after that, the relapse? Just quickly, Hamza, I've written down here, I've written down shock bottom, right? Because I'm interested in talking to you about the build up to that moment, that you know, at the festival. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, you know, turning up already a day in or whatever. You know, I think especially in the UK, you know, it happens. And I've got loads I want to ask you here, so I'm trying to structure this. You know, I feel terrible now, because right before we started recording, you were like, God, I could tell that you guys are radio professionals, just the way that you speak. And now I'm all over the place. I'm feeling the pressure of your pre-recording comment, man. Hamza. But, you know, so...
Am I too good looking for you?
That's it, actually. That is it.
Right, let's start then with, so I've written down shock bottom, because I think it's really interesting that this terrible traumatic event that happened at the festival shocked you into, right, I'm going to be sober now. And as you said, that shock bottom, it was an event that happened that then the pressure you felt from other people, right, I'm going to prove to them, it wasn't about you, it was about everybody else, I'm going to prove to them, that kind of shocking event. Like, what was the build-up to that then? What was the build-up to that event? Were you aware that your drinking wasn't great? You know, it wasn't working for you in the build-up to that?
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I had always been that person with the monkey on my back for going overboard. I was always the one who would show up, turned up. I would always be the one that would keep the party going. I would often be the last man standing at the after party. I would often be the first one at the after party. That was just who I was. And all my friends would tell me that, do you have to go that far? But then it's also fun and games, and I make sure everybody around me is having a good time. So, you know, all fun and games. That's sort of what it was chalked off to. But again, it's when you come home and you can't sleep. Yeah. It's those moments when you realize that something is not okay. And for me, there was always this voice in the back of my head that you are, like, how much longer can you keep this up for? Because it wasn't just the alcohol. It was also the cigarettes. It was also the...
Yeah, other things,
the other accompaniments that go with this. Yes. And in abundance. And it was just, it had turned into this cocktail of things, and all fueled by alcohol. So in the build up to that event, it was clear that I had to make a change, but I just kept putting it off. Another day, next week, next month. Oh, not today. Oh, I'm too hungover today. Oh, today's hangover is real bad. I have to get the hair of the dog out of my brain. Like, let's go. And it would just keep going on and on and on and on and on in just a cycle, this round and round circle. But amongst all of this, I had a job. I would show up dressed nice, looking well, hanging out with people. So of course nobody knew. And then when this thing happened and I went sober, I was doing it so that I could, because we were putting up events at that time. We had an event scheduled each month, every month. I was the head promoter. I had the team that had to sell all the tickets for people to come. So it's not like I could just be like, sorry, guys, can't do nothing. So I took pride in the fact that I could do this sober. I could stay up till, you know, set up the event, stay till 5 o'clock. And then when people leave, do the tear down, load it up all in the van, return the speakers, return the decks, like all that stuff. You know, I was so proud of doing that. And all the, oh my God, you're still sober? Oh, wow. Oh my God. How do you do it? Those comments were my fuel. And I love that. And I have no shame in admitting that because, of course, you know, it made me feel real good to be in that spotlight. I even had a hashtag, sober promoter. Hashtag sober promoter. But again, it was all for the wrong reasons. There was nothing holding me back. When all these things went away, my partners came back to me and said, look, man, it's just not working out. So, you know, we're just going to go our separate ways. And these people are my childhood friends, no less. So, of course, when things get to a point where, despite my best effort, still not good. Okay. So then in my brain, I'm like, what am I sober for? What is the point? If these people don't care about it, why should I? And right there and then is, and this, of course, the hindsight is 2020, but in that moment, if I had recognized that, hold on, this is all superficial. This is not real. This is not real in here. So how are you going to make it stick, right? So I had learned this. So when I started drinking again, it started with a pint. I remember it was a hot summer day. I was walking to a friend's house. These are two friends that I hadn't seen since I got sober. And these are the two friends. Every time you go there, it turns into an all-nighter. No questions asked. So I'm on my way there. And I'm like, I know what's going to happen there. So let me take a moment to sit. So I have book just right across the street from a bar. Nice patio. I sit down. I order a Guinness. I'm looking at the foam, looking at it go down, go down, go down. Then I have my first sip. I remember that first sip, of course. From that point on, I tried moderation, of course. Let me have one glass of wine. Ooh, feel so posh. I can have one and walk away. Yeah, that lasted maybe 2 weeks. And before I knew it, the full swing had come back, and this time it was worse because I had just lost something that I had held on to so dearly, my sobriety, and that whole identity, all gone. 2018-2019, the worst, absolute worst. I'm talking 2 bottles of wine a day. I'm talking waking up at 9 in the morning after going to bed at 6 o'clock because I can't sleep, waiting till 11 o'clock so I can go to the store and buy more. In the same smelly, disgusting situation from last night, but still, you know, hi, bye. And then that was the ultimate walk of shame for me, holding my bottle in the brown bag, walking at 11 a.m. on a Sunday, you know, like that was, I couldn't care less. And then it just turned into that. And it just, my central nervous system was depressed. I couldn't find happiness. I was fighting with my brother. I was living with my brother at the time. Rather, he was living with me. And everywhere I turned, there was a wall. The wall of, we don't want to talk to you because you drink too much, or, you know, that's very unattractive. So please just stay out of our life kind of thing. And even my own parents were like, we don't know what's wrong with you, but whatever, you know. And it was just, I didn't see a point in living that life anymore. And that's how in January of 2020, I'm like, okay, I have to make some changes. So I started with cutting out meat. I had already quit smoking before that. And I started with cutting out meat. And then things progressed and progressed. I started feeling better. And I don't know, March came around. This weird virus had just started in China. Nobody really knew what was going on. And then the lockdown came. And that was my lucky break. Not going to lie. Because my biggest problem was I couldn't stay at home. I just had to go out, had to. Just couldn't be bored, couldn't be by myself, too uncomfortable. Am I a loser? People don't like me? Do I have no friends on a Friday night? Not a single person wants to hang out with me? What is wrong with me? You know, that talk track was playing in my head nonstop, nonstop. So COVID helped me out. No bars, no clubs. All right. Sounds good. And that's when something clicked in my brain and I said, you know what, maybe this is a good time to start this again and see what I can do and let's go. And of course, like this moment came after a 2.5 day binge, missed 2 days of work, called in sick on the third day. My boss was like, what's up, man? is there something that's happening here? Are you coming back to work or should we just let you go? So in that moment, I was like, all right, let me pick myself up one more time. And the lockdowns really helped. And now here we are, almost 5 years later.
Okay, so you tried it, Hamza, to satisfy others, and you had your shock bottom. Can you tell that I'm happy with myself for that phrase, by the way? Shaz, the shock bottom.
Right, get it on your quote board.
No, on my quotes board. I'm going to explore it more as a concept. Anyway, TM, trademark Ben Anderson, 2025. but then it stuck when you chose it for yourself. And the question that, it's January. Okay, so someone's thinking about it. They've had that little voice in their head. You know, the voice that you had. Oh, this is not going the right way. Where do you start? I know I need to do this. And for you, you didn't leave. And that lockdown was a blessing at that time because that was a big trigger for you going out. But for someone who isn't living in that weird COVID lockdown world, who's trying it now, where do you start?
So I say this now because I am now a breathwork teacher. I'm also a certified recovery coach. So like I have a lot more knowledge than I had at that time. But what I would tell you is you have to understand one thing, which is alcohol is not the problem anymore. If you find yourself in a place where you are wanting to stop and finding it difficult too, for reasons that are just outside of your control, you feel stressed out, you get into a fight, you have a long day, it's the weekend, whatever it is. Alcohol is not the problem. It is in the nervous system. It is all based on how habits are formed and how much we internalize and how much we suppress. And all of that stays with us. So that's the first thing. Anyone who is looking to stop, I would first ask you to take a good inventory of all the reasons. I'm going practical here, you know. Make a list of all the reasons that make you drink, okay? You'll likely find, oh, I think about drinking when I'm stressed out. And I'm stressed out almost all the time because I have a busy job. I'm a parent. I've got children to look after. This is just what's going to play through your head. You're going to try and justify, I would like to, but these are the reasons why I think I can't do it or I shouldn't do it or how am I going to do it, right? The moment you start questioning this, these answers will show up for you. The majority of it is stress, boredom, habit, overwhelm, weekends. These are the conditioned things, okay? The next thing you have to understand is once you have this list, there's this exercise called the 7-Y exercise. This is phenomenal for getting into the bottom or the root causes of anything. So we have 7 layers of consciousness. So to get to the bottom layer, we have to question something 7 times. So as an example, let's say you make this list and the top thing on your list is, well, I come home from work at 5 or 6 o'clock and I feel like drinking. I feel like I deserve it. Or I feel like, you know, I want to have a drink at this time. Why? Well, let's say it comes up to be, I live alone. I come home. I'm bored. I've got nothing to do. I've just worked all day. That's why I want to have a drink. Well, what about being bored makes you want to drink? Well, when I'm bored, I don't have much to do and all these uncomfortable feelings come up. These thoughts come up, make me feel uncomfortable. I don't like it. Why? What about these feelings is making you want to drink? And then you might stumble upon something like, well, when I have these feelings, it reminds me of all the terrible things I've done or all the mistakes that I've made in my life that I'm still paying the price for or suffering consequences for. It reminds me of all the things that I have done wrong, and I don't want to feel that. Why? Now we're on the fifth why. Well, because when these things come up, it reminds me of how much work I have to do, and it overwhelms me. I don't want to think about that. Well, why do you not want to think about that? Well, it's because I will then realize exactly like where I need to put all my efforts, and it's daunting, overwhelming. I just don't want to think about it. So now you kind of just uncovered that it's not because you're bored. It's because you're getting all these thoughts coming up that make you feel uncomfortable, and you'd rather just numb yourself and drown out that noise than deal with it. And just like this, you will get to a list by doing the 7-Y exercise in each of these situations that are making you drink the most. You will get a list of your root causes. Such a blessing. The moment you have a grasp on what it is that is moving this behavior for you, despite your best efforts, that's the key, despite your best efforts. If you're just not really trying, then okay, try harder first. Right? But if you're giving it your all, if this means a lot to you and it's not happening for you, then you know that the issue is somewhere else. That alcohol. So the more you say, I will not drink today, in fact, you are going to be thinking about drinking even more. This is what we call the white bear phenomenon. So the more you say, I will not, I cannot, you are in fact placing that thing in the front and center of your awareness. Anyone who has kids knows exactly what I'm talking about, right? The moment you tell them, no, you can't do this, it's like, well, this is the only thing I'm going to do. So what is the solution then? The solution is when you have this list of these root causes, see what you can do to have a different alternative impact or outcome in that situation. So same way in this example, okay, well, I'm bored and I have these uncomfortable feelings. That's why I feel like drinking in this situation. Well, what is something else that you could do? A great thing you could do is take out a pen and paper and start writing this stuff down. Start journaling, start getting clarity and understanding. So by doing this, what you are doing is instead of turning away from the problem, you are now turning into the problem and you're leaning into it with curiosity instead of judgment. And right then and there, you have freed yourself from you drink so much because there is something wrong with you. You drink so much because you can't handle things or whatever we tell ourselves. That's all judgment. We don't need that. Just the why, the curiosity. That's all is required. When you address your root causes, so in this example, uncomfortable feelings, one thing you can do is you can start journaling. Same way, there are several habits that you can introduce into your daily life that will address each and every one of these areas. And from my experience, the things that you can do that can address the majority of the root causes, breathwork and meditation, connecting with yourself, digging deep, the process of self-compassion, self-inquiry, like people who are trying to stop drinking and are unable to stop drinking, they have a hard time drawing boundaries. They have a hard time putting themselves first, and they have a hard time recognizing when something is not serving them to cut it out. These are some things that you can start working on immediately, right away. And another one of those things is exercise. Not because you want to lose weight and get buff and feel good in front of the mirror, but because when you work out, it releases endorphins, it releases other chemicals like dopamine. And when you're drinking, dopamine, serotonin, your GABA, all of these chemicals are all out of whack. That's why we feel depressed. That's why we feel depleted. That's why we feel such lack of energy if we are just regularly drinking. Another thing that can really help the majority of these reasons is going for a walk specifically at either sunrise or at sunset. If you're someone who struggles with using alcohol as a way to sleep, as a sleeping aid, I know lots of people do that. And when you stop drinking, you can't fall asleep. When you walk, when, especially at the time that the sky is changing colors at sunrise or sunset. By evolution, we have sensors in our eyes, at the bottom of our eyes, that are designed to detect the level of UV light to then signal us for alertness or for winding down. Think of the times before candles and artificial light, right? Like, we only had light when the sun was out. So this resets our circadian rhythm. Just exposure to the light, it resets our circadian rhythm, which allows us to fall asleep and melatonin to be released at the right time. It takes a couple of weeks of practice, but again, these are all natural ways for you to reset your nervous system. Another thing is mindful eating. Did you guys know that simple things like blackberries and blueberries contain these crazy antioxidants that just work so quickly to detox the liver? Your liver is where your food is getting broken down. Your mitochondria in your cells is where the energy is being produced from. When you are drinking, the chemicals in the alcohol cause oxidative stress. It slows down the function of the mitochondria, which then slows down the production of energy, which then slows down your overall function. Berries, simply berries, along with other foods that have citrus in them. And, you know, there's a whole list. I can share that with you guys. But these are other ways: mindful cooking, workout, reading from a book, like that act of reading words printed on a piece of paper. Just that alone is enough to create a flow state, to get your mind off of all the other things and into the book with a nice cup of tea, right? So
this is why Hamza has got all of these certificates on his wall. And I say things like, why wait to feel great? You know, this is the difference.
Stop drinking, because sobriety's great. That's like my strap line. And there's Hamza with hour's worth of top tips. I love it.
I didn't even prepare. This is just me now. And yes, I got these certifications because I am determined to disrupt the recovery space. I want people to realize that you don't have to hit rock bottom to change your life, and that there's nothing glorious or glamorous about alcohol, period. It is all brainwashing. It's all a way for people sitting in a boardroom to sell more of their product.
Can I just pick you up on something there then, if you don't mind?
Yeah.
We need to rewind to the beginning of what you were talking about when Ben said, you know, for people considering trying this now, and you said, Hamza, that alcohol is not the problem. Now, I would argue that actually, initially, it's probably not, because you're not aware. I'm speaking from personal experience. And then actually, after a period of time, because of the, addictive substance that you're drinking, it becomes a massive part of the problem. And it's all really intertwined. And so much of what you've just shared there in terms of the things we can do and the journey you go on. If you'd have told me that, Hamza, as a drinker, I'd have been, my head is just fried. I can't. I can't see further than like day one. And for me, alcohol was the problem, but I didn't know it at the time. Now, this sounds really sort of back to front. And again, you mentioned hindsight, Hamza. 2020 vision and all that. Yes, of course, that was what was causing the issues and the way you felt and, you know, the insidious nature of it. So I just want to talk maybe a little bit further about that, how intertwined it all is.
It certainly is. I mean, look, when we talk about root causes, there is always this general unhappiness, that this void that we're trying to fill, right? And we choose different things. So for me, if it's not alcohol, it could be food. If it's not food, then it could be shopping. If it's not shopping, it could be porn. If it's not porn, it could be something else. An escape at the end of it. But what are you escaping from? Alcohol just seems to be the most widely accepted, readily available, lowest cost to entry, easy to find, socially acceptable thing that we can use to fill that void. Over time, it becomes a problem when you start using the substance in different ways to cope, to manage stress, to regulate emotions, and none of these things alcohol is designed to do. So what we're doing essentially is we're using alcohol as a solution to stress, a solution to boredom, a solution to not going out. And when we are trying to stop drinking, so exclusively in the context of trying to stop drinking, focusing all your efforts on not drinking by making it the main problem. Yeah. Alcohol is the problem.
Yes.
I used to tell myself, as long as I don't pick up a drink and it doesn't touch my lips, I'm good. But mm-hmm. no, because 100% of the time when I would say that, so I would tell myself that, okay, I'm going to go out, I'm going to have fun, I'm not going to drink today. Sounds good. That's a plan. Let's get ready. Let's buy the ticket. Let's go. But by the time I'm there, when I'm in that environment and I'm looking around, I'm like, I can't not drink. Why did I come here then? And it just changes. And I don't know why it changes, but it changes every single time, 100% of the time. So that tells me that there's another force at play here. And that is the environment. So when I put myself in that environment where I'm used to drinking, of course, I'm going to want to drink. Right? So that is the context within which I say alcohol is not the problem anymore.
Yeah.
It is something else.
I totally, we talk about this all the time in terms of that kind of, you know, you remove alcohol and you get to a stage where, you know, you're doing that deeper work and it is confronting. You know, I'm alcohol free and now I'm feeling all the feels and actually that's why I drank. It is interesting, isn't it? I think it just shows that, I think we've got very similar philosophies on it all, Hamza, you know, very kind of forward looking philosophies. It's not about what you remove, it's about what you bring in. You give up one thing, you gain so much more. It is interesting though, it's making me think back because I don't think at the time I could get into that mindset, the perfect mindset that you're describing there, that kind of, you know, just the idea that alcohol isn't the problem because there's something else going on and removing alcohol gives you the opportunity to deal with that and focus on that and work through that. I understand all of that. I think at the very beginning for me, I couldn't put my head there. And I don't know if this is because I'm just a bit of a narky knob, but I almost need it. It's a bit kind of Alan Carr. Sorry, Shaz, does Knob break our no swearing policy for 2025?
Just no, quick you're side fine note, with Knob. Production That's note. Fine.
Okay,
we
Knob's
have
fine.
Knobs on the podcast.
Okay, sorry. We swore too much in 2024, 2023, 2022, ever since we started.
No F-bombs, nothing
no
terrible.
F-bombs.
We can have the odd shit. Occasional shy a few knobs.
On the podcast. Yeah. Okay.
On the podcast, not, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So what am I trying to say here? I think for me, it's a bit Alan Carr in the sense of, like, I read Alan Carr's How to Stop Smoking book, not Alan Carr, the comedian in the UK, but Alan Carr, How to Give Up Everything Successfully, Alan Carr. And he talks about kind of, you know, it's the monster, it's the little monster, that nicotine monster inside you. And he uses the word monster almost to kind of demonize it in a way. And I think I almost needed that at the beginning. And it's just completely opposite to the perfect mindset that you hope to get to. I almost needed to have an adversary. I needed alcohol in those first few months to be a foe. Do you know what I mean? Not that we demonize alcohol as a whole, you know, and we're very clear that if you want to drink, go for it. We've chosen not to, and that works for us. But I needed it almost. I needed to kind of build it up as an enemy. You know, alcohol was the enemy for the first.
Yeah.
Now I don't think about it. What do you think hearing that?
I think you're absolutely right. And even for me, that's how it started. I need to do something about the drinking because it's causing a lot of problems in my life. And when I started to stop drinking, I started learning about all the other problems that come with it. I 100% think that we need an enemy. We need something to motivate us. And we need that. In my world, though, I would much rather you be motivated by what's on the other side than all the mean, bad things that have happened to you or are happening to you because of this one crazy substance. Because it also means that you have given all your power away to the substance where you need to demonize it and make this ugly monster thing. And that's totally fine because look, at the end of the day, it's a means to an end. And I'm happy with that, right? I'm happy with however you get started. Just keep going. Because that's what really matters at the end of the day. For me, though, I found success when I work with people. I always find way more success when we are focused on the positive side of things. Of course, there's a time and a place for all the negative side of things, but only for us to take what we learn from it and apply it on to the solution. I don't know if that answers your question, but
absolutely.
Yes, I do agree that it helps to demonize the one thing to get you started day one, day two, day three, day four, even 10 days. But after a certain while, like if you're not addressing the root causes that made you this way in the first place, you're going to run out of, you know, as soon as the pink cloud effect is over, you're going to wonder, okay, because that's what happened with me. Like, what am I doing this for? What is the point? And if you don't address the real things that are causing the hole that you're trying to fill, the void that you're trying to fill, then you'll find something else. Like when I first stopped drinking, I gained 20 pounds.
So, same, but I've still not lost it. All about the Haribo, Hamza. All for the Haribo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I tell you, this is one of these conversations that we could continue just for so long. And I love the tangent that this episode has absolutely taken. But I'm looking at the clock, Hamza, and we've got about 5 minutes left because we have our online community and we have our amazing Zoom hosts, and our community members will be joining in, and no doubt a lot of new members as well because we're in the new year. And so we need to wrap it up. It's a big question. And if you can answer this in just a couple of minutes, you're a good one. Thinking back to the man that you described that was pulled out of that water, thank God, by, you know, the people that were there, to the man we're chatting to today, how would you describe the difference now?
That's a good one. The difference. I don't react anymore. Sometimes I do, but not nearly as much. I respond. I have been able to build myself in a way that serves other people. I could not say the same thing before. I have worked through most of the challenges, not all of them, but I had a lot of them. I am peaceful. I am okay with the way things are. I have not been bored since I stopped drinking, because the number one thing I did, the best thing I could do, or the best thing you guys can do, is shift your focus inward. We are, from the word go, we are raised in a world that is focused on materialism, things, clothes, and now with social media, we're always all about everyone else's business. And when we fall into that trap of comparing our lives to what we see on social media, which is never true, by the way, it's not the real picture at all.
Judge you behind the scenes by everyone else's highlight reel, Hamza.
Exactly. I have learned to let the art of letting go and just being okay with what I have and being grateful for it. That is one massive change that I have seen. The change in my energy, the change in my aura, how my family and people that I care about, what they think and feel when I'm around them. These are the real markers of success for me. Of course, yes, I'm healthier now. I can run 5-6 kilometers without a problem. But these things are superficial, or not superficial, but like, I mean, whatever, you know, that's not as important. The most important thing is I wake up every single day so excited for what I have in front of me in the day. I take pride in getting my kids ready for school because I can, because I'm not hungover or tired or in a rush to get going or whatever. I created a life where I can be available for my kids 24/7, you know. I'm there every morning. I'm there every single night. There is no, oh, daddy's off to work, or, oh, daddy's not. Like, daddy's always here. And I'm here. And I love being here. And when I say I'm here, I am present. I'm not lost in my own thoughts. Quick question. How long did it take for Hamza to be so excited about his new life?
Hamza's in our chat box. Thanks, Ange.
It took me about 12 weeks for things to reset. And that's what I say to everybody as well, is if you look at your entire life in the context, right? A year has 52 weeks. A person lives 80 years. Let's call it that. Where's the calculator? And this might rub some people the wrong way. And I promise my intention is not to make you feel weird, but let's say 80 years times 52, that's 4,160 weeks, right? if you guys are in your 30s or 40s, half of this time is already gone, right? So whatever you have left is what you have left. Can you invest 12 of these weeks to change the outcome of the remainder of your time here? Please ask yourself this question, because 12 weeks is more than enough time for you to think of, this is another analogy I use during my coaching. So think of this giant lever. It's in this position. Okay. And your job is to lift it. So right here, day one, the most energy is required to get, you know, object at rest requires the most energy to move it, right? But you push and you push and you push. And this is killing you. So maybe you go down a little bit, but you keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. Eventually, at 12 weeks, this is where it comes. And then it falls all on its own. You're done. No more resistance. No more fighting. No more pushing. Now it's free flowing. And now it's second nature. And now it's part of your life. And now you wouldn't have it any other way, right? And it's the exact same principle, the same way you wound up creating this habit of drinking. You can use the exact same faculties and processes based on our nervous system, based on how habits are formed, based on dopamine, based on all these systems that we have inside. You can use it all to create a new version of yourself. And this version can choose down the road, a year from now, maybe 2 years from now, if you truly feel that you are free of all the things that were driving you to drink and to behave in that way, you can free yourself from that. And who knows, maybe a few years down the road, you could have an alternative life that you could just never want to do without. So
amazing. Hamza, that is just absolutely fantastic. And what a way to end this podcast episode. We've got about 30 seconds. I do not exaggerate, because this call will get cut off. Before you go, Hamza, let people know where they can find you and more about the work you do in the sobriety space.
Absolutely. So my Instagram handle is hamzanajam.sobrietycoaching. You can find me on Instagram when you come there on my link tree. I have this wonderful training that I recorded that explains all of this in detail. It's free. I'd love for you guys to check it out. And if any one of you guys wants to talk to me, I offer free calls to just talk about your challenges, and I'll give you guidance on how to integrate the breathwork and the process that I just shared with you guys, how to integrate this into your life. Would love to talk to you guys, of course.
Amazing.
And with that, I just want to wish all of you guys an amazing 2025. My daughter is going to be born this year, so my life is going to change forever. And I'm so glad that all of you guys were here today. And thank you all.